Hey, welcome to the Introverted Apostle, the podcast for Christian introverts who love Jesus and their faith, but struggle with the social side of church. I am Roman Asbill, a proud introvert.
And I'm David Wilson, equally introverted and proud of it.
Here we will explore what it means to live out our faith as introverts, finding peace in community, purpose in service, and strength in stillness.
We are not psychologists or theologians, just two guys who overthink for fun and decided to hit record while doing it. In today's episode, we're diving into small group versus large group engagement. So, grab your coffee, settle in, and join us on this quiet journey of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, please open our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to your word. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today we have a very special guest with us, Davlin Doosterhuis. Now, some of you may know that name, but we're going to let her introduce herself. So, Davlin, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'll give you a little education. Doosterhuis, Deesterhuis, Doisterhuis, Dusterhuis. Whatever you want to say, but my dad said Dusterhaus in Germany, it's a Doisterhaus.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm Davlin, and I will tell you at the end if I'm glad to be here or not. Thank you.
A true introvert. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where'd you grow up? How'd you end up in Amarillo? Where's your home parish?
I grew up in Pampa, Texas for about 13 years, and then I left home in 61. And was entered the aspirancy. So I was in the order of the sisters that started St. Anthony's Hospital and St. Mary's Academy for 30 years. And in that time, received a wonderful education, spiritual formation, especially incarnational spirituality. And I was missioned here in 1981. Was asked at age 33, which is the year I really wanted to die, like Jesus, you know. Anyway, I was asked by the provincial superior, would I come to Amarillo and be a principal? And I said to her, you're crazy. A principal at age 33? My knowledge of principals is, you know, they're old.
Right.
Anyway, but she said, well, take a few days and pray. You know, and I did, and first time I ever prayed Bible roulette. Just opened the Bible in the chapel there at the convent in St. Louis and right to Jeremiah. When Jeremiah said, I'm too young, Lord, don't send me. Can't do this. And then, of course, you go on with Jeremiah. But I said yes, and I've been here since 1981. Left the order in 91 for various reasons, but we're all on very good terms.
Yeah.
And stayed at St. Mary's School. That's where I was asked to be principal until I left there in 1999. And also had turned over the catechumenate coordination to a couple in 1998. And was hired at BSA as a chaplain because I had the credentials of a master's. And then had to get four semesters of clinical pastoral education, but I think everybody in the human race needs at least one semester of that, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I retired from BSA 3 years next month, yes. So with a lot of gratitude.
And you're a member at St. Mary's Cathedral?
Yes, I am. When I came in 81, I've stayed there.
So that's your church.
It is. It really, you know, yes, it is.
Yeah.
With all of the journeys of any parish in religious life, I was in various parishes all over the place, from inner city to Hispanic, poor, rural, you name it. So you get a lot of experience of coming and going of clergy and whatnot. So, you know, we're the church.
Yeah. Amen. Well, we're talking about small group versus large group engagement today. And Davlin, you've dealt with both.
Mm-hmm.
Quite extensively. You're fairly active in the ACTS community, right?
Yes.
And so there's plenty of large and small groups there in the ACTS community for sure. Would you agree with the statement that small groups tend to be better for introverted individuals?
Yes, I would. For me, they are.
And why is that?
Some wise spiritual director of mine years and years ago said to me, less is more. And in some ways, a small group is less people. There's a comfortableness, and I could build trust more easily than in a large group. Whether they're introverts and extroverts in the small group, but you learn how to give and take in a smaller setting than you do in the larger setting.
Right.
But by virtue of the 30 years in education and almost 24 in chaplaincy, you need to learn to be comfortable with extroverting because you're all over the place with all kinds of people. And so, I mean, I can be okay in a large group now.
Yeah, because you've had practice.
I've had practice and years of experience, and I see the pluses of both. Because we need them both.
Yeah, for me, I tend to shy away a bit more in larger settings. But, you know, the funny thing is whenever I'm doing the presenting, I actually do better in a larger group. And I don't know why. Like when I was working at the university.
You're hidden more.
There you go. That's what it is. I've always wondered because, like, I would do smaller groups and it just made me more nervous. Mm-hmm. But whenever I do a presentation in front of a large group, I always associate it with it more. Maybe I like the larger groups more because there's more people to laugh at my corny jokes. Because in a smaller group, they're just like looking at you like crickets.
Especially if they're introverts, they would look at you like crickets.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Roman?
I would agree. I think smaller group, if I know everyone, then that feels safer. For myself, I came to find the reason it felt safer in giving a talk in a large group setting, it's not intimate. So for myself, it was a fear of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm giving a talk in front of a large group of people, it's a captive audience. No one's interacting back. I'm in control. And so it's less intimate. Now, you can go deep and be vulnerable, but it's still not the same as intimacy where I'm seeing into you and you're seeing into me. It's not a back and forth.
I'm a great believer in eye contact. You know, introverts might shy away in large groups and not make eye contact. But again, that's stepping outside the comfort zone. And that's for me, that's the only way I have been able to grow. And it makes it more comfortable, whether it's a small group or a large group. For me, it does, to let the person know they've been seen.
Yeah, I tend to struggle with making eye contact. And so I have to consciously tell myself, okay, look at them in the eyes, engage with them. But that's a conscious choice that I have to make. It's hard for me to just do it naturally. Because naturally, I'm just like, you know, look down or look to the side. Or
That's why I said I have to push myself outside of that comfort zone.
Yeah. Well, Davlin, tell us what types of church settings or gatherings feel most comfortable and spiritually nourishing for you specifically?
In contrast, I came to be principal, you know, at St. Mary's in 81 and then catechumenate coordinator. So from 81 to 99, I in some ways or other had to go to what was then the 915 Mass. That's where things happened to a lot with RCIA, OCIA.
Right.
And that was a larger setting then at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a number of years. So it was fine. I became comfortable. But after there wasn't that need, I moved to the smaller. And that was a choice, which was the early Mass. And that's still what I attend at St. Mary's. You know, you're not just a number. Because I believe introverts, actually, I feel all people. And I said it earlier, they want to be seen. Just see me. Just know I do exist. And sometimes I would feel in large groups, it's hard to do that. That's why it's important to look at people, I think, even with a smile or somewhat of a smiling heart, whatever you can.
Because you're making some kind of connection.
Yes. Yeah. And then they might feel, I mean, there's that progression. They might feel that they're known just as I feel I'm known if somebody can look at me, whether it's a large or small. But I've had to learn over the many years, you know, how to become as comfortable as I can in that large setting. But my preference is a smaller. Yes, we have music, but it's quieter. You know, there's not all the other instruments sometimes that can be at 9:15. But You know, you want to be seen and known, then eventually cared about. Then you can feel safe, no matter where you might be, in large or small. I just think that progression of growth or comfortableness is very important. And I've tried to learn it and also to model it if I can.
So have you ever found a small group or a community that truly understands your need for quiet connection?
I have probably two groups currently going or I'm part of, in a sense. But one is a structured, chosen group. You know, we're there. One of them came to me and said, would you, because you're, you know, all your skills, all that. But anyway, I don't need to facilitate the four of us. We have a common goal. And I'm not going to say, because I was told in lots of training, you don't label somebody as an I or an E or whatever. But probably it could be half and half or whatever. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But there's a sense of respect and trust. Mm-hmm. And that's important because, again, I said, you know, you feel that you're seen and known and you're cared about, then I can feel safe. Mm-hmm. And then the other group would be more friends. Hmm. You bring us together, whether there's three or four of us, there's a deep sharing. Well, in the other group, too, there really is, because we have a common goal, a common topic that we choose, a common book, whatever is the format. And there's a common goal. We all know and we've learned to trust each other. And of course, in ACTS, you have the fringe benefit of knowing the river rule. Whatever said in this group on this particular morning, it stays right here. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful mechanism. It's part of the ACTS for safety for people, whether large or small.
Well, and that also helps establish trust, too.
It does.
Which is a huge thing for, well, not just introverts, but for anybody.
Right. I mean, we all know we can't control people. It can be broken, and it was on my behalf, but I took care of it as best I could.
What would you say on that same line, whether it's a group of four, group of 10, or even getting into a larger group? I know the dynamics are different, but we were talking about trust and safety. We hit on one thing, what's said here stays here, but what are some things that make a group safe? Like, if I know this, then I'm more willing to engage.
I think, you know, as an introvert, that somebody is willing to wait and then listen and not feel uncomfortable with silence. Got to jump in. I got to jump in.
Yeah.
You know, in those groups, there is a sense of, well, okay, we'll wait. Mm-hmm. We know you have something you want to say. Or if there's someone there who hasn't said it because we've already built some trust, just say, somebody say, Davlin, you know, what do you think? If you don't mind saying it, just calmly. I hope that answers your question. I mean, it's deep. It's, you know, it's hard to build safety for others. They got to know they need it, you know, be open to it.
Yeah.
I can't make you feel safe.
Right.
Just by my feeling safe with you might help you feel safe.
Yeah. And I think that pause you're talking about, especially for introverts, is important because we think through things. I feel like there's two things. Either sometimes that gets pushed back on, either because silence doesn't feel safe to people, or in this culture, especially in the social media culture and everything, if you don't get all your words out, then you are interrupted constantly. If there's a pause, then someone interrupts, and it's like, well, if I'm going to get a word in edgewise, I've got to say everything I have to say right now. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that doesn't feel safe. And so it feels like we're fighting on two different fronts a lot of times.
Think about the world that we live in today. Like, when you go to the doctor's office, is it silent? No, they're playing music overhead, or they have a TV on. Mm-hmm. You go to a retail store, is it silent? No, there's music.
Yeah.
And there's announcements over, you know, different products on sale, right? You go to the coffee shop, is it silent? No, it's not.
You go to the hospital, there's a lot of overheads and beeps. And, you know.
Yeah, so we've created a world where there is no silence, and so it makes it hard, especially for, in my opinion, the introvert, because we're just bombarded with noise, whether it's audio or even visual.
Visual.
Yeah. Lots of pollution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, Davlin, what advice would you give to someone who feels lost in a large parish community? You said you've been to different churches, inner city, rural, and, you know, they've all got different dynamics, right? Mm-hmm. But it just seems like, you know, a large parish or large mega churches, yeah, you're gonna struggle being seen or feeling seen. You're going to struggle finding that one familiar face that you're comfortable with. So what advice would you give to somebody who feels lost in that?
Start small. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, if you're brand new and you come into a church setting, probably the first two times you go, you just ease in and go to the back of the church or go somewhere and you sit down to get a feel. I don't know. That's how I would do it. And then, you know, after a few Sundays or whatever it would be, I think it's important to not just go hide in the church, but to see who I might know, or is there somebody else that seems to be similar? Hmm. Go over and introduce myself. You know, just meeting somebody that seems to be rather so-called shy. You know, they say introverts are shy. Well, I don't know. And extroverts are rambunctious. I don't know. You know, we give names, labels that I don't think that's a good thing. I never did in education, and I certainly didn't even in chaplaincy. Mm-hmm. You know, and on the side, you don't say, David, you're a diabetic. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're David. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're David. You're a person with diabetes. Right. And see, we label people and how they seem to appear. But again, a person that's an introvert or extrovert, bottom line is they got to know themselves and know what they're comfortable with and not comfortable with. And it's once you come to a sense of, you know, God's with me, God will give me the grace to forge into what I'm not comfortable with, to really go up and say, you know, hi, I'm Davlin. And I did that with somebody about a year ago at St. Mary's. You know, she'd been coming off and on, and I thought, well, I don't know her, and I'm sure I get a sense. Mm-hmm. Let me just go on in, and I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and since then, I mean, we might have connected at least. We know each other by name, and that's good. And I think that's a beginning. And then there have been other settings where we've been involved together with others. But start small, and if you feel comfortable with small, you're okay in a large group. Let's just say 8 o'clock Mass at St. Mary's. It's a small group. Okay. Well, where I sit, that section, the two behind me, the one next to me usually, the one that maybe when can be there, and then, you know, you kind of know that little group around you. Mm-hmm. And that in a sense, that's fine. You know, we're doing just fine. And everybody else probably feels the same way in their little pockets,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. In a sense. But it still makes for the community of the 8 o'clock Mass. If I go to the noon Mass, or for instance, coming Saturday, I go to the deacon ordination, well, I mean, there'll be a lot of people there. But in my introversion and sense of service, I volunteered to be a visualist, so, you know, I have my space at the back, but I want to be there to support and do whatever I can in prayer for those deacons. Yeah. I think that's important. And I probably won't know many of the people. That's just what it is. But I know because we're a parish or we're a church, a large church, as far as the diocese goes, I'm part of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of the mystical body, too. You need every cell, every part and parcel of a body to make the body.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's the way the church is.
Roman, do you have any thoughts on what you would tell someone who feels lost in a large parish? Because I think you have a unique perspective coming from a Protestant background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you, I think. It's important. It's good information to know if you're introverted. It's good information to know if you're extroverted. It's good to know, hey, this is how I get my energy. Because if you don't, you'll run out. Mm-hmm. Past that, then, like you said, a label becomes baggage that, you know, you can put on yourself and just self-limit, you know. But when we're talking about not getting lost or feeling lost in a large parish specifically, the introvert has to take some accountability for themselves as well to know. You can know all about your own introversion. You can know this zaps my energy. But if you have no conception of boundaries, then you'll let yourself be pulled in and sucked into different things. If someone goes, hey, you know, parishes, big or small, are notorious for, I mean, if you have things going and you have programs, then you need people to fill those. And you try your best to find the right person. And then there becomes a point of desperation. And you're like, anybody will do. How about you? Come on. Well, I don't know if I'm. No, you'll do. Come on. And you have to know, I'm not wired for that. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to have a solid boundary and be able to push back if you need to. Or it might be a place that you know you could do. And you just are. You're using that label again as baggage and going, well, and I don't, and you're just making an excuse. You're like, yeah, this is probably be a good place for me to grow. So I think self-awareness and boundaries is a good thing.
Yeah.
There was a follow-up question about how do you prepare yourself mentally, you know, before. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was thinking of boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to know my boundaries and my limits.
Yep.
So anyway, I thought, yeah, well, I totally agree.
You got to stick with them too. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that. We have an episode talking about boundaries, but what I was going to say is, you know, the labels introvert, extrovert, or any other label. You know, here in the American culture, we label everything. Right? Mm-hmm. But what the labels are is not necessarily who we are. But what it does is it allows us to understand how we operate and how we work and how we tick. So that way we can go into situations that are uncomfortable, mm-hmm. understanding who we are. And so that way we know how the most effective way to tackle whatever it is before us. I mean, would mm-hmm. that be a fair thing to say?
Yeah. I think it's similar. I know you always lose a little bit when you use a metaphor, but it's similar to, are you a Mac or a Windows guy?
Yeah.
And it's what your operating system is. And that's good.
iPhone or Android.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to know, because both those operating systems are different. And people will even have wars over, so, well, this one's better and that one. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, it's what are you doing? And neither of those operating systems, they have their own peculiarities. Yeah. And depending on what you're doing, one's probably better than the other in that particular job.
Right.
And that's fine. But you have to know your operating system.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean, in a funny way, go, well, this one's better than that. But ultimately, function.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
Function and call.
It's really basically not either or, it's both and.
Yeah, exactly.
You get the best from both and ultimately we do. Mm-hmm.
So on that, how can church leaders, both big and small, again, we go back to sometimes you're trying to fill a hole, or you have a ministry, or you mm-hmm. have all these programs. I need an OCIA teacher. I mean, whatever it is, how can leaders be more welcoming, a little more emotional awareness when they're maybe approaching an introvert?
I don't know if that's a fair question, in the sense, because I can't, again, like I couldn't make you feel safe.
Right.
I can't make them learn to be more aware, in a sense. I mean, I can tell them mm-hmm. in a kind way. I can encourage them. Generally, I know, in somewhat being in that role of sorts, it's not fair for them. Mm-hmm. Church leaders, there's so much expected of them, no matter what role they are on the staff, whether it's the main clergy person, the rector, the pastor, I don't know, the bishop, or the administrative assistant, you know, whoever it may be. Our expectations of them sometimes are unfair.
Mm-hmm.
They're human. They're just human beings. We can encourage and hope, especially if they're in those roles, that they are open to learning about different forms of leadership, different types of people, different ways to administer, different ways to pastor. Before they ever say yes, in a sense, I mean, you know, sometimes we have to learn on our feet.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too, if you continue, if a person continues to be open to different kinds of people, then it won't be so threatening for a church leader to go up to an extrovert and tell him, pardon my French, shut up, you're talking too much. Or, well, what do you have to say, Roman? You know, I haven't heard from you. You know, it just takes practice, goofing, giving yourself some grace. That's not easy to do in our world, and especially the Western culture, but to try again. And if they know that in a larger picture, they will make introverts feel welcome. I don't know. It seems from my experience, if I think back on all the different pastors and associate pastors or whomever, I'm going to just look at the clergy for a minute. Most of them themselves, if I had to label them, would be introvert. But, you know, I never went up and asked them. Now, a few have said to me, well, you know, Davlin, I'm an introvert. And I said, well, you know, okay, because we're in a discussion or something. And I think a lot of them do a pretty good job, especially on Sunday. But then they get, I'm sure they have to recharge in the evening. I mean, I can only imagine. Because I would. I think all of us need to give each other grace. We are all different. We all share the same DNA of God, but we are still all unique, no matter who we are. And it's a sense of giving them grace, encouraging them as they want to encourage and pastor their flock. I'm not trying to avoid the answer because there is no direct answer except a person is a person and they must know themselves. And ultimately, I have learned I lose out if I stay hidden in my little arena, you know.
How do you prepare yourself mentally before attending social functions, whether large or small?
Well, again, I go in with knowing if I can't remain here, that's a boundary. I will leave. I have given myself that freedom now instead of sticking it out and then beating myself up afterwards or being angry at because I didn't.
Yeah.
But I think that, too, was a learning process on my part.
That's
good. You know. But again, sometimes I've had to just, before I go in, take a few deep breaths, say, okay, God, here we go. We can do this. I can't do it, you know, but we can do this. You know, that's a mental preparation. The deep breaths is just something any nurse would teach you before they go into a trauma, you know, or CPR or you take three deep breaths and then you act to give yourself a sense of groundedness, I guess it would be.
So, Davlin, do you think introverts and extroverts can learn from each other in small groups? And how can we learn? Like, what do we need to learn from each other?
Well, I'm glad you added a little more. Otherwise, sure, I could say yes and be done with
yes,
it.
Yes, the answer is yes. Thank you, folks.
Okay.
You were thinking what I was thinking. Thank you.
Again, I think it'll go back to first building a sense of trust, safety, security, so that extroverts then know to not dominate. And introverts know I have a responsibility, as you had said, accountability. I am a part of this group. And whatever little or big I might have to share, it is important because I want them to be quiet. They want me to speak. And so it's a give and a take, I believe. And because if you're in a small group, and it depends on how long you're together, you know, you can build that safety net, that trust to start off with, because most groups, there is a combination of extroverts and introverts. We can learn a lot from each other. We just got to know we can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same on any system you want to use, whether it's Myers-Briggs with the introverts, extroverts, or the true colors, or, I mean, there's so many
all
of them, the Enneagrams,
tests,
all those kind of things that I'm not the whole picture. One of the foundational books in spirituality that I was recommended to read after I'd kind of learned more about the Myers-Briggs at Pecos Monastery years ago, 80s, was John Sanford's The Kingdom Within. He's an Episcopalian priest. I don't know if he's still living or not, but he develops how Jesus is all eight, or he's an extrovert, an introvert, you know, and the other, the thinking, whatever, but in a beautiful way. And that's what God wants us to be, like him, whole. But I don't have all those whole pieces until I can learn to let extroverts benefit, help me. And they learn that introverts can help them, et cetera, et cetera.
I think that's great wisdom.
Yeah, I do too. Sometimes it feels like wholeness when you use the word wholeness, even in trying to contain the word whole. Sometimes we just go, oh, me, how can I be whole? But wholeness involves letting other people in to be a part of, like, how to be whole. It's not me by myself alone. I can't be whole without David, without Davlin.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, our guest today has been Davlin Dusterhaus. Thank you, Davlin, for joining us. And I just wanted to ask, do you have anything that you'd like to share before we wrap things up?
You know, us introverts, if it's difficult, pray for the grace to go outside of your comfort zone, because there's great wisdom and learning there.
I think that's a wrap.
Yeah. Sainthood is built outside of comfort zones. Yeah.
That is true. Sure. Very true. Well, thank you, Davlin, for joining us today. And thank you to our audience for joining us as well. And remember, even a whisper can move mountains. Hold on a second.
The pressure that's
Davlin,
put upon.
Hold on. There's a helicopter going overhead.
Oh, is that what that? See, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I just let it go because I don't. I'm not in a sound room or something.
All right, we're good. It's going.
I don't think so. No, 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 no. I don't think so. No, 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 no. It's never, ever, 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 ever going.